strange story, history.
Never will I rescue thee. Speak it out, Jesus lives alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive.
Glad to have you guys here. My wife and my mother-in-law and some friends. We were all at Havasu this week. It was very nice, except coming home yesterday. It was about 80 mile an hour winds the whole way. I don't know what it was, but so I was telling Kathy earlier. I said all the rest I had during the week, and then I was tense when I got home from driving, pulling the trailer, but. But anyway, it was a good time with good friends, and glad to be back. Glad to be back here, and got a few announcements to make. And of course, this is our praise and testimony service, and so I hope you have something to share about what the Lord has done for you, and. You think you got that on now, Dave?
It says it's on.
Deb, would you look? Okay, somebody said yes.
Yes.
Oh. We're so organized today. It's kind of going how I'm feeling right now, just kind of buffeted. But anyway, praise and testimony time. So what we're going to do, we're going to live stream the first several songs, and then the first part of where I talk, and then when we get to the testimonies and stuff, we're going to turn it off. And so hopefully, well, I must have hit the button, huh? Oh, you hit the button. Okay. So anyway, a few announcements. We are going to have some fellowship after the service. We're going to have some food. And everyone is welcome to stay and have some food and just fellowship. This is a time we want to praise the Lord And so if you share a testimony or share a praise of some sort, you get to pick a song. And that's why there's a hymnal like on every chair. So you can pick out of the hymnal, or if you know like one of the songs especially that we have done here before, that would be helpful. And we can, you know, we'll do a verse or two of whatever. And what I'm going to do also is Psalm 32. I'm going to kind of break it up and kind of preach through that in between testimonies and stuff. So, and we'll just see how it goes on that. So, and oh yeah, Psalm 32. Oh, I know what I was going to say. So today is praise and testimony time, and you know, regardless of how you feel about the activity this week in our nation, okay? Lord's on the throne, and we have plenty to praise Him for, okay? And so I think this is pretty timely, actually, in a lot of ways. And so we just want to praise Him. You know, whether you think the election was great or not, you know, there's no doubt our country is in upheaval. But one thing remains, you know, we elect different leaders and other countries get different leaders, but our leader never changes. He's forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We do not wake up the next day wondering what is going to be new. You know, just look in His Word. It stays the same, okay? And we can praise God for that. And so all that to say, I'm going to read, I guess I can read it off the screen, Psalm 32. And what I'm going to do, after the music, the three songs that we normally sing, I'm going to come up and I'm going to begin to preach a little bit out of 32, just for a couple verses, then we'll have some testimonies. And then I'll go a few more verses, and then we'll have some testimonies, and so on until we finish the psalm. And it's just going to be kind of played by ear. We'll just kind of see how it goes. And but I want you to know, you need to participate, because we can't even order the food till almost 11. Okay, so for the thing, so you got to make us last till 11:30. Okay, we got to go to 11:30. You know, so come on, get your mind in gear. What has God done for you? What song do you want to hear sung, because it means something to you? And we're going to do this. So anyway, let's look at Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgive the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come near unto him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You will compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you that no matter what goes on in our lives, no matter what goes on in this state or in this nation or in this world, Lord, you are constant. You are our hiding place. You compass about with songs of deliverance. You are there, Lord, in the midst of it all, our rock and our Redeemer. We thank you for that, Lord. We ask you to bless this service, bless these that came this morning, and ask you to just do something special here among us. Be with the singers and the musicians, Lord, and all that participated in this. May you be glorified. May we be lifted up. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Everybody hear me okay? I'm sorry. My wife and I just got back from a three-week vacation at the beach, and it was absolutely, totally relaxing. I needed it. I thank you all for your blessings and thoughts while we were gone, and I especially want to thank Kathy over here for running this show up here and doing such a good job. Anyway, yeah,
here.
Please. And you'll notice that I've got a little something different here in front of me because my other one decided to go on vacation without me. But it's going to get fixed, hopefully, today. Anyway, my wife and I were, I've already told somebody this. My wife and I were sitting at the beach, and she came up to me as we're having our coffee looking out over the ocean. And she says, "What are we going to do today?" I said, "Nothing." She said, "Didn't we do that yesterday?" I said, "Yeah, but we weren't done." So we did a lot of nothing down there. I think the biggest thing we did was walk our dogs. And that was a chore in all of itself. So, all right, let's do some singing here. Who's got the clicker? Let's do some singing. This time of year, I try to pick some songs that go along with Thanksgiving, and Count Your Blessings is obviously one of them.
When upon life fills you with thoughts, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, your many blessings made one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, made one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, made them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened? Days go by.
And shake hands, but everybody stand and wave at somebody in here. Tell them it's good to be here in the house of the Lord.
Psalm 32. So if you want to turn there, I guess I could have gone back and put that back on the screen, huh, Dave?
Yeah,
why don't you do that? That might be helpful. We get so dependent on having it in front of us, don't we? I don't know if that's good or bad. I think it's kind of nice to have the Word of God sitting on your lap. Give Dave a moment to put it up there. But you know, I wanted this to be a time of, you know, we've been in Revelation, and which can get real depressing, I guess, for lack of a better word, just reading about all the, you know, the tribulation, the wrath, the mayhem, the pain, the suffering, the evil, and all that, and you know, we can lose sight of, you know, there's a lot of good. God is doing a lot of things in our world and in our lives. And we do this every so often anyway in our church to have a time of just sharing. And so the Lord led me to this psalm at some point when I knew we were going to do this. And it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." Boy, there's something right there. Whose sin is covered. You know, every one of us has sin. There's no one except Jesus Christ that has ever lived that did not have sin in their life, did not say something wrong, do something wrong, think something wrong, hurt somebody, wrong somebody in some way. We've all done it. We've all probably been on the receiving end of it at some point. But you're blessed, and that word blessed, It's a state of happiness. Okay, it's a state of happiness. And it's the state of happiness, it's a specific kind. It's the kind that when a superior favors someone under him. And so in this case, it's the Lord. You know, the Lord is our superior. And when he favors us in some way in our life, when we have a what we call a blessing, what that is he's done something in our life that pleases us, that, you know, makes us happy in a sense. And really a better word is joyful, because, you know, most of us, you know, we define things, and happiness is usually dependent upon circumstance. You know, if I'm not feeling well today, I'm not real happy. You know, something came through that I didn't expect. Wow, I'm really happy. You know, things like that. Happiness can be up and down. You know, those of us with children, sometimes our kids make us happy and sometimes our kids get on our last nerve, right? And you know, and that's, you know, so it's based a lot. But the happiness that we get from the Lord is, it's more of a joy. It's that joyful, from the heart kind of thing that circumstance around you cannot impact. And it says, blessed or happy is he whose what? Transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Who can do that but only God? You know, only God can forgive us our sin. Oh, we can forgive one another, but I can't cleanse you from your sin. You know, you could do something to me and I could say, oh, you know, it's okay, I forgive you, it's not a problem, you know, and that would be done, but only God can cleanse you from it. And that's favor when he does that, because he is holy. He operates out of a perspective of holiness. And so his love towards us comes out of that holiness, as well as his discipline comes out of that holiness. You know, so blessed, oh my goodness, how blessed are we that our transgressions are forgiven. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been forgiven. It's been wiped clean. Whose sin is covered. You know, the shed blood of Jesus Christ covers us. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. He doesn't see your sin. He sees Jesus as righteousness. And he says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. You know, he doesn't look at you and go, you did this, and it's going to cost you. You know what the Lord said? He said, you did this, and it's going to cost me. And it cost him his son. Something we can all be grateful for. You know, it's time of thanksgiving to be thankful for. In whose spirit there is no guile. Or deceit is what that word means. And he says, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old all through my roaring all the day long. Okay, what that's talking about is, you know, when you don't make things right, it weighs on you. That's what that's saying. You've got sin in your heart. You've done something. You did that deed or you treated that person. And what happens is it begins to consume you. And you don't get peace. He says, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old. You know, it wears out people. People that don't make things right, life tends to wear them out. And he says, for days and night, your hand was heavy upon me. You know, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. And that word Selah, it means basically, ponder that for a while. That's what that means. When you read a little passage there, and then you see the word Selah, you know, it's like, stop and think about what I have just told you. Stop and think about what I have done. You know, this is God speaking through his word. And he's saying, look, when you keep it to yourself, then it's going to weigh on you. Think about that. You know, so many times we walk through life carrying stuff God never intended us to carry. You know, he didn't intend for you to carry your sin. He sent Jesus to forgive you of your sin so that you wouldn't have that burden on you anymore. Pretty amazing. Something to be thankful for. And so we're leaving it. I'm going to leave it right there at the first Selah, because I like this psalm because there's a bunch of Selahs in it. Okay, so it gives us things to think about. And so all that to say, somebody superior to us has blessed us, and we didn't deserve it. We were sinful. And yet when we turned to Him, He cleansed us, and we really have something to be thankful for. And so maybe someone would like to share. And what I've got here is a microphone. I have wipes, but, you know, we're trying to be, you know, clean. So we got wipes here, and I got to turn this thing on. Okay. So I've got a microphone here because I know everybody thinks they talk loud, but you don't, okay? And people can't hear you. So what good is a praise if people can't hear you? So who would like, and you know, you guys can too, you know. You don't think you're exempt because you're up here, okay? If you got something to say, you can.
Child you're holding is the grave.
Awesome God. If it's the hymnal, let us know what number it is for the people.
Oh.
179. Okay. So this is David writing this, and of course we know David was a great man of God, but he was also a great sinner, and God records both in his word for us. And it says, when he kept silent, his bones waxed old through all the roaring day long, day and night, his hand was heavy upon me. You know, the Lord's hand was on him. And in verse 5 he says, I acknowledged my sin unto you. You know, we need to acknowledge our sin to God. You know, a lot of times we say, yeah, you know, I've done this or that, and, you know, whatever. We kind of acknowledge it, but we need to get real with God. He knows, you know, whether we tell him or not, he already knows. So you might as well come clean. Make it easy on yourself. You know, many people just go through life and they're just down, down, down. And they don't have to be. The burden can be lifted. He says, I acknowledged my sin. In other words, he owned it. And you know, we have a problem with that in our country today. People don't want to own when they do something wrong. They, you know, they try to cover it up, or they try to blame someone else. You know, oh, my parents, or you know, my whatever, my wife, my husband, my children, you know, whatever. We, you know, all these things, instead of just saying, you know what, I made a decision. I chose to say that, or I chose to do that. And we need to own it. And you know what's amazing is people are pretty forgiving. You know, you can do something pretty bad, but if you just own it and just say, you know what, I blew it, please forgive me, people will give you slack, because they know that, you know, they've been there. You know, maybe not that exact situation, but they've been there. And people are forgiving. How much more is God forgiving than we are? You know, through the Bible, all through the Bible, don't be bitter. Why does God tell us that? Because we have a tendency to not forgive. And that's what bitterness is. Bitterness is simply not forgiving. You hold a grudge. You won't let someone, quote unquote, off the hook. I'm not going to let them off the hook. They hurt me too bad. Well, you're the one that's on the hook when you do that. The Bible tells us over and over again, for be forgiving. You know, forgive others even as I have forgiven you, Jesus said. You know, we have to do this, because otherwise we keep ourselves captive. And he says, I acknowledge my sin unto God, and my iniquity I have not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. In other words, think about that. Whatever it is you have done, it is not beyond God's forgiveness. That's what you need to realize. That's what you need to understand. Whatever it is you have done, it is not beyond his ability to forgive. He can forgive us of anything. The Bible says there's only one unpardonable sin, and that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit tries to draw you to Jesus and you reject that, there is no comeback from that. If you reject Christ, you're going to be lost in your sin. But everything else is on the table. David committed adultery and murder. And he got prideful and counted the people. And even some of his less godly advisors and stuff said, don't do it. And he did it anyway. And 70,000 people were killed because of his sin. So, God already knows what we did. We just need to acknowledge it and come clean. He says, I acknowledge my sin. My transgressions, I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive me. And let me just say something, by rule of kind of a rule of thumb, your sin only needs to be known to those that know the sin. You don't have to stand in front of a bunch of people and say, hey, I did all this. And it's really none of their business, because you know how people are. There's that sin called gossip. People do that. Oh, I can't wait to get home. I got to tell some people about this, But if you sinned against five people, then you need to go to those five people. If I sin in front of the church, then I need to go before the church. You only go as big as the sin is. You don't go bigger. And that's just a rule of thumb. But if you just sinned against your husband or your wife, then you just need to go to them. You don't need to share it with anyone else. I've sinned against my children. I've had to ask them to forgive me. For maybe disciplining them in anger, things like that. You go to the person or persons that were affected that knew it, and you don't confess stuff, in front of crowds that did not affect the crowd. But you know what? Every one of our sins is before God, and we need to go to Him first. You go to God, you make it right, and then you go to the person or persons, and you make it right. And if they won't forgive you, that's on them. Now they got a problem with God, and it's called bitterness. But you go to them with a humble heart and just say, hey, I blew it, and I know I don't deserve forgiveness, but would you please forgive me? And then it's on them. And if you were sincere, God honors that. But what's amazing is, even though sometimes people don't forgive one another, God always forgives when we have a contrite heart, when we have a humble spirit, and we just come to Him openly and humbly, He always responds. What an amazing, amazing truth. Someone else to share. As the Deer, 548. Someone else. Amen. You have it.
571.
571.
I'll be
couple of meaningful songs. As the deer pants, do we pant after God's word the way the deer pants after water? Trust and obey. When you get into His word and you see things, you know, and you've heard me speak on this before. You know, Beth says she didn't think it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. But a lot of people think it is because they take a verse and twist it a little bit. It says, paraphrased, it says that God will not give you any, He will not allow any temptation in your life that you cannot handle, that He does not, in other words, provide a way out of it. That has nothing to do with circumstances of life just weighing you down. In fact, Paul wrote that he was overwhelmed, that he even despaired of life. And if Paul was overwhelmed, then I think I could probably be overwhelmed also. And the key there is, where are you putting your faith? You know, you're putting your faith in your way out or your abilities or someone else's ability, or are you putting your faith in God? Because He's the answer to that. You know, when you are overwhelmed, the Lord is the one you need to pull you out of that. You know, I've heard the saying, you know, he pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. Try that sometime. You don't move. There's no such thing as pulling yourself out of it by your own bootstraps. Someone needs to reach down and grab a hold of you, and as the Bible puts it, lift you out of the miry clay and set your feet on a rock. And that's what the Lord does for us. So I like the songs. They're, you know, makes us think that, you know, life really is not in our control, right? We like to think we have it, but we don't. God reigns. You know, He reigns. Verse 6. So here's a guy that has, you know, David has all these problems. He tried to hide it from God, but then he finally confessed it to God, and God forgave him. And then he says, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come near unto him." In other words, even when, you know, you're getting overwhelmed, as we just talked about, God will not let that happen. He won't. And then I love, you know, verse 7, and of course there's songs, praise song out of verse 7. You know this one? She does know. I figured she did. "You are my hiding place. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble." Doesn't say He'll keep you out of trouble. Okay? But He'll preserve you from trouble. In other words, trouble doesn't have to change you. What does preserving something do? It keeps something the way it is, right? Doesn't let it degrade or let it go rotten. You know, it preserves it. And when we're in trouble, when troubles come upon us, He preserves us. He can keep us the way we need to be. He says, "You preserve me from trouble. You compass me about," or "you surround me with songs of deliverance." You know, one day you will be delivered. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is that's weighing you down, one day you will be delivered. That's a promise. You know, the Bible says that in another place that God heals us from all our infirmities. And you say, "Well, I went my whole life and I had this or I had that." Yeah, but if you know the Lord, if Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're going to die one day. And then, you know what? All your infirmities are going to be gone. There'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more separation, no more saying goodbye. None of those things are going to happen anymore. Sometimes we get delivered some in this life, but we will all that know the name of Christ, all that have named the name of Christ, will be delivered at the end. And what He has for us tends to he means it, you know, just like Joseph said. He said, you know, brothers, you sold me into slavery. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And, you know, sometimes there's things in our life and we're like, man, I don't understand what God's doing. But one thing you can be sure, if you are his child, he's brought that into your life to do something. To do something that's worthwhile in you. Might be to make you more humble or more patient or, you know, more forgiving or, you know, whatever it may be. But he's doing that. And another thing, don't blame everything on God. God allows a lot of things. He's God. But some of the stuff I get into, it was my choice. It wasn't God bringing that in my life. And then we do have an adversary that brings things in our life also. And then sometimes it's just life. You know, and things happen just because you live in this world. But you can rest assured in all of those situations and more, the Lord wants to use it to make you more like Jesus. I mean, that's just, you know, he doesn't always bring the stuff in our life, but, you know, when the stuff happens, he wants to use it to make us whatever, better, more like him, more pure. It says, you are my hiding place. You know, when things happen that you don't like, what's your hiding place? You know, some people withdraw. You know, they go hide in the corner. They cut themselves off from everyone. But the Bible says God is our hiding place. Hide yourself in him. Get closer to him. He will compass you about with songs of deliverance. Sometimes you can go through a really hard thing, but then and you hear a song, you know, praise song or something, it lifts your spirit. Even in the midst of something, sometimes it's really horrible. But it lifts your spirit. And he says, Selah, think about that. Think about that. God himself preserves me. God himself preserves you in a time of trouble. And he'll compass you about with songs of deliverance. Someone else got something they want to share. In the garden. Somebody got a number for that?
635.
Okay. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Isn't that a wonderful promise? God will instruct us. He'll show us what to do. And He'll teach us the way in which we should go. And I will guide you, He says, with my eye. He says, don't be as the horse or as the mule. Anybody here can identify with being like a mule? Or have you ever been stubborn? Probably most of us. Did you do what? So he's been kicked around as much as a mule. But, you know, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. You know, a lot of times when we're stubborn, it's because we don't understand what's going on. Remember Jesus, I love the way he put this. He says, why do you kick against the pricks? And what that, you know, they used to have, you know, like an ox goad, and it was a sharp, and they'd poke it to get it to go a certain way, but sometimes an ox or a mule would be very stubborn, it'd kick. You know, you poke it to go this way, and he kicked back, didn't want to do it. And Jesus, you know, he likened his disciples sometimes as that, and the Pharisees definitely is that. You know, they're kicking against the pricks. Sometimes God doesn't just, you know, I always say, I've said in the past, I should say, you know, God doesn't always use a 2x4. You know, He can, and He has, you know, used a 2x4 to get my attention. But sometimes it's just a general prick. He's just, you know, are you sensitive to when God is just pricking you to go in a direction that He sees is the way you should go? And, you know, a lot of times we're in such turmoil, you don't feel the prick. You know, we got so much going on. We're so busy. We got all these things happening that God is trying to guide us. He's trying to lead us, or prick. Maybe He tries to lead and we're not following. So then He gets beside us, tries to prick us to, you know, but we got so much going on that we don't even feel the prick. You know, we get pricked, you don't even notice it. It's kind of like, you know, if you got something that hurts, you know, I tell my grandkids this, I go, oh, your arm hurts? Let me step on your foot. Because if I step on your foot, your arm won't bother you no more. You know, you'll just feel the foot. You know, and sometimes God's trying to do, and we've got this stuff in our life that we don't even feel it when God's doing something. I think that's why in another place God said, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we just need to shut down. We need to get still where we can hear His voice, where we can feel the prick, where we can see where He's trying to lead us, kind of get out of our own. He says, don't be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto you. You know, I wonder, you know, sometimes I think God has to do that. He has to put a bit in our mouth and then jerk us. You know, I've been on horses before. I mean, you just had to pull them, pull their head around because they didn't want to go there. They didn't want to submit. And, you know, and that's really about how you ride a horse is, if you have a good horse that's trained, he will submit to you. They call that neck reined. And you can just lay the rein up against the neck and they'll feel it. It's not even hard. It just lays and they'll back away from the pressure. So you lay it on the right side and they'll just go left. They'll go away from the pressure. You lay it on the left side, they're so submissive. But then there's other horses, you just got to grab the bit or the bridle and just yank them, yank their head so they'll look that way. Stubborn animals, and they're strong. You know, I mean, you know, they don't want you on them. You won't be on them long. And yet, God's comparing us to them. He says, don't be like that. Don't make me have to put a bit in your mouth and jerk you to where I want you or drag you to where I want you. But be sensitive. Be sensitive to what I want. And allow me to lead you and guide you. He He says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Doesn't seem like that sometimes, does it? Sometimes, you know, I think Solomon wrote, you know, the wicked seem to prosper. And we look at them and we go, you know, look at him. He's doing all this stuff. He gets away with it. He just gets better. He gets the promotion or, whatever. Gets the position or the promotion or the money. Yet, it says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Where are you putting your trust? You want mercy in your life? You want mercy to surround you? Trust in the Lord. We sang that song a little bit ago, trust and obey. Trust in him. That word mercy, it's talking about loving kindness. It's talking about faithful love. You know, God has got a faithful love. Some people love a sports team and then they start losing, they switch over to another team. You know? That's not faithful love. That's just, they just love to be on a winner. But God has, and you know what? We're not winners, folks. Or you may look at someone and go, wow, that's really a winner. You know, maybe we're a winner like that. But God loves us. He shows us faithful love and mercy because he places great value on us. And if we trust in him, mercy will encompass us, surround us. What a marvelous, marvelous promise to just dwell in God's love, his faithful love and mercy. Anybody else?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if it's the same one.
It's not the same one.
Oh, it's not?
No. It's a simple one, though. Everybody can join in. Anybody else?
Me, right here behind
me. Right behind me, you are.
Watch out.
I keep fighting voices in my mind.
Close it out at this point. I know there's one more verse. But, you know, during those times that Deb was talking about when we had COVID, it was just, there was a period there where there was, and I've shared this a little bit, but there was 3 nights there when I didn't know if I was going to wake up. I mean, I really believed that. And it was just me and the Lord. For 3 days, just he and I. And there just comes a place, sometimes there just comes a place when you, he is all you have. And I was in that place and I was like, if you're done with me, then take me. You know, I mean, I was really there. I was just like, you know, if you're done, if you've accomplished whatever, then I'm ready. But if you're not done, there's more. And for crying out loud, heal me. Nothing else was happening. Like Deb said, you know, none of us, we didn't get any treatment or anything. But I got to that place, you know, when you're reading in Job, where Job said, you know, though he slay me, I will praise him. And I like this last verse. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You know, if you are upright in heart, not, that doesn't mean you're perfect and sinless and, you know, no, it means you're a child of the King. He declares you righteous. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He declares you righteous. And you are upright in heart. You may not be upright physically or in your mind because we still have that sin nature, as we all know, but we're upright in our heart. He's cleaned us up. He's made us, as the Bible says, white as snow. And we can rejoice in that. We can shout for joy because of that. And we always need to remember that. Whatever's going on. I picked a song that we've sung here before, but I like it. And it's the next slide. I know. And it's I Am Free. And you know, no matter what happens in this country, no matter what happens with, you know, because we don't know what's going to come with the church. We know, you know, persecution can happen, things like that. But it was like I was talking to Pastor Wayne, who is one of our group there in Havasu, and he says, you know, we were talking about staying open no matter what, you know, and all that. I said, you know, I may end up being in jail or something. He says, that'd be great. You have a captive audience then. And you think about it, you know, when Paul was in prison, he had a, you know, Roman soldier on each side of him chained. They had to listen to him. I'm sure that wasn't any more fun for him than prison was for Paul, you know. That wasn't any more fun for those guards. But you know what? Even if we're in prison, even, you know, there's people in a lot of countries, you know, we're just beginning to feel stuff that countries have gone through for hundreds, if not a couple thousand years for the cause of Christ. And we're beginning to get some of that now. But you know what? No matter our... Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And he was speaking to people that were slaves in the Roman Empire. I mean, you know, they had an oppressive government that told them everything what to do. And yet, he says, whom the Son sets free is free. And so you know what? And I want us all to sing this. So that's where we got the words. And you guys do the parentheses. And all you guys do the first part. And the crowd is going to do the echo, and don't let me down. Or I might preach 2 hours next week. But seriously, you know, we are free to sing, we're free to dance, we're free to share Jesus with people. No matter what they do, they can't silence us because we have the truth and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And let's sing like it. We're free.
the sun sets free, it's free indeed. Who the sun sets free, is free indeed.
I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free.
Dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
Oh, I am free.
I am free.
Oh, I am free.
Yes, I am free.
Are you free? You better believe it. If you have Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, you are free. And we're free to praise Him, glorify Him, serve Him. Whatever that may be, whatever that may entail, that's what we're free to do. You know, you're not free to sin. You're free to serve. Well, that's the key. You're free to obey Him. You got the Holy Spirit. The Bible says before you had Him, you had to sin. But once He saved you, once you accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you didn't have to sin anymore. You were no longer a slave to sin, but now you're a slave to Christ. And we should be proclaiming our freedom to everyone we meet, to a lost and dying world. And I hope that everyone here has made that step. They've accepted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And I just want everyone, just bow your heads for a moment. It's going to have an invitation, just a brief one. But you know what? It's so important that every person knows where they stand with Jesus Christ. Every single person that has ever walked the earth is one day going to face a holy God. And what they do with Jesus is going to be the most important thing they've ever done in their life. Everybody either accepts Him or rejects Him. One or the other. There's no middle ground. You either accept Jesus Christ or you reject Him. And all that accept Him are saved from their sin, forgiven, set on a rock, free to serve, and one day will dwell with God forever. The other will pay the price for their own sin themselves in a place that's called hell. But the good news is no one has to go there. We're free. If there's anybody here today that you have never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you've never done it, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you because it's a decision you need to make. If there's anyone here today? Now, how many here today would say, you know what, I just need to live like I'm free. I've let Satan kind of put me in some bondage in some areas that I know I'm free. I should be free from, but Satan's still kind of holding me hostage a little bit in some areas. Anybody like that? Amen. See that hand? Yeah, I see hands. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I ask You, Lord, to bless these that raise their hand. Lord God, help them to see the freedom that You have provided. Help them to reach out and grab it, Lord. Father God, let not fear keep them from stepping into the life of freedom that You brought all of us, Lord. May all of us step out of the prison that Satan has provided and step into the light, step into freedom, Lord, in whatever area it is in our life, Lord. And we will give You the praise, the glory, and the honor, for You are worthy. You performed it. It was all the work of Yours. And we ask You and thank You this. Thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.